welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, August 13, 2021. The SPLM-IO splinter group, loyal to General Simon Gatwich, wants to meet the regional bloc IGAD.
We are not against the peace agreement. We are in line of the peace agreement. But the peace agreement itself is not being implemented. And the period of the transitional government also is over. Then we will have the grantors of the peace. But what shall we do then?
And Sudan signs a memorandum of understanding with the International Criminal Court in The Hague.
17 years is a long time. That is how long the court has been involved in investigating the crimes in Darfur.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The SPLA-IO faction, led by Simon Gatwich, says it wants to meet the regional bloc IGAD, which mediated the talks that led to the signing of the revitalized peace agreement in 2018. Gatwich's faction says his group is inviting IGAD officials for a meeting in Upper Nile State. For VOA News, Onen Walter Solomon reports from Juba.
Brigadier General William Gadjaf Deng, spokesperson of the SPLM-IO faction, led by General Gatwich, says his group wants IGAD officials to meet with them in Mageni's Upper Nile State to address the internal conflicts within the SPLM-IO. Gadjaf says his faction also wants to meet the guarantors of the peace agreement, Uganda and Sudan, to explain what will happen with the peace deal.
We are not against the peace agreement. We are in line of the peace agreement. But the peace agreement itself is not being implemented. And the period of the transitional government also is over. Then we will have the guarantors of the peace. That what shall we do then? Because we need to revise the agreement. We have 3 years of transitional period. After 3 years, we should go for elections.
Gadjaf says the only way of reconciling with Machar is through the regional body.
Dr. Machar, if he wants to talk to us, then he has to go and consult with the IGAD and the peace partners. This is where so we should come in. But for him directly to talk to us, I don't think it would be possible. Because we have denounced him, and himself he has ordered his forces and came and attacked us. None of which many people have died.
At least 30 people were reported killed in fighting that erupted on Saturday, days after Machar's opponents declared they'd removed him as party leader and head of its armed forces. Logo Martin Leonard, a political science lecturer at the University of Juba, says the SPLM-IO split because the parties to the 2018 revitalized peace agreement did not honor the timeline for implementing the deal. He says asking IGAD to meet the SPLM splinter group in Mageni's will not necessarily resolve the party's internal conflict.
Going to Mageni's, I see that is the problem half solved. The real way out is to bring both parties to sit down and iron out their issues. Because at this stage, we don't want a divided SPLM-IO, nor neither do we want a divided SPLM-IG. We want all these parties to the agreement solid so that they can go ahead with the implementation of the agreement.
Logo advises the guarantors of the peace deal to press the SPLM-IO factions to ensure a total cessation of hostilities. Wokne Gebeyehu, executive secretary for regional bloc IGAD, says the conflict within the SPLM-IO should be addressed collectively so that it does not affect the implementation of the peace deal.
We know that the issue of SPLM-IO is an internal party issue, but according to the peace agreement signed by all signatories, SPLM-IO is one of the major signatories. So if something is going to happen to that signatory in one way or other way that affects the peace process of South Sudan, so it is not only the issue of one party, so it is issue of South Sudanese. So, and also this is an issue of IGAD.
Asked whether IGAD officials will travel to McGuinness to meet the SPLM-IO splinter group, Gebeheu refused to comment, but urged the parties to expedite the implementation of transitional security arrangements, especially the establishment of a unified command structure.
We asked the leadership to take a decision for the sake of the people of South Sudan to implement this arrangement. There may be an interest in the parties, difference on the implementation process, maybe difference in the quotas, and so on and so forth. But this is not about an issue of one party. This is all about South Sudanese. We discussed thoroughly on this issue, and definitely, especially Excellency the President has concurred the discussion that we made, and really he already has started to take action the day before yesterday, asking the first vice president and the vice president to bring their list of nominees for the command.
United Nations mission in South Sudan this week expressed concern over the division within the SPLM-IO and the possibility of it undermining the peace agreement. For VOA News, I am Onan Walter Solomon in Juba.
The Sudanese Transitional Government and the International Criminal Court signed a Memorandum of Understanding on Provision of Information and Realization of Justice for Victims of the Conflict in Darfur on Thursday in Khartoum. The ICC prosecutor says the MOU will enable the government provide requested information for the court to continue working with victims, survivors, and the civil society.
Sudan's Justice Minister Nasruddin Abdulbari signed the Memorandum of Understanding with ICC Chief Prosecutor Karim Khan. At a news conference Thursday, wrapping up his visit to Sudan's capital, Khan said he was hopeful that the Sudanese government would turn over former President Omar al-Bashir to face charges of genocide and war crimes in the Darfur region. 2 years ago, the 77-year-old president was ousted and has been held in prison in Khartoum ever since. Al-Bashir was indicted by the International Criminal Court in The Hague in 2009 over alleged atrocities committed by his government in Darfur. According to the United Nations, at least 300,000 people were killed and 2.7 million displaced in a war from 2003 and 2008 in Darfur. Khan says the MOU is a framework agreement that will facilitate cooperation in providing information as the ICC investigates crimes committed in Darfur. He says Sudanese victims in Darfur have waited far too long for justice.
17 years is a long time. That is how long the court has been involved in investigating the crimes in Darfur. The perseverance of victims and survivors for justice is strong, and they are to be applauded.
Khan announced the establishment of a temporary office in Khartoum in the coming days to carry out investigations of suspects and victims. He says his office is hopeful justice will finally be served and victims and survivors will be able to heal.
The difficulties that many are living in, the losses that many of them have incurred, has not led to fatigue, however tired their bodies are. It has energized them to march forward based upon the individual worth of every child, every man, and every woman.
Khan says the ICC delegation in Khartoum and the Sudanese government could not agree on a specific date for handing over Bashir and other suspects to the court, but there is a possibility of trying Bashir and other suspects in Sudan under the supervision of the ICC.
The seat of the court is in The Hague, but the Article 3 of the Rome Statute provides the court may sit away from the seat. Of course, the application can be made by the prosecutor. It's a decision by the judges and by the presidency. These are all options that the Rome Statute provides. And we will wait and see how the story unfolds in the future.
Last week, the Sudanese cabinet approved a draft law to join the ICC Rome Statute. The draft is expected to be taken up in a joint meeting of the cabinet in the Sovereign Council for final approval. Khan says the transitional government has given the people of Sudan hope for the future.
The period of transition is one that has given rise to many hopes of a better tomorrow, of a tomorrow where rights for all is not seen as an exception, but as something quite normal.
Khan became the ICC's chief prosecutor in June, replacing Fatou Bensouda, who served in the post for 9 years. Michael Atit prepared this report in Khartoum. I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
From the Sudanese capital Khartoum, we move to Juba, where fashion designers in South Sudan say they want to brand the country with designs made in South Sudan. About a dozen of fashion designers attended the sixth edition of the South Sudan Fashion Week in Juba. The founder of the South Sudan Fashion Week says South Sudan is known around the world for wool, a perception he says needs to change. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
South Sudan Fashion Week founder Dawson Dao Amao says he collaborated with a South Sudanese fashion designer and started the fashion show in 2007. Amao, who is also an East African fashion model, says he represented several companies in East Africa, and that's when he thought of starting a South Sudanese fashion industry to showcase the local talent and bring up models. Amao says he intends to start a fashion academy in South Sudan that will train designers and models with an aim toward building the careers of those talented in fashion design. He says he wants South Sudanese to start designing and sewing their own outfits and let fellow South Sudanese wear what is locally made. Amao says he also wants to change the world's perception of South Sudan.
The perception is, or what goes out is, it is a war-torn country, and they just believe that you'll just learn and you start hearing gunshots, of which is not the case. People usually have misunderstandings and they get over it and they continue. What we up to here, it's all about growing the fashion industry because it is a business industry, so that we're not going to rely on brands that are made from outside. At some point, we are supposed to support the local designers so that you get them going.
Amao says the Fashion Show Week has also sent a team to consult the communities over a possible national outfit for South Sudan. Gumbarnaba Kolang, founder of Kolang Enterprise and Best Clothes Stores, says he started creating his own designs in 2019 because he loves wearing fashionable clothes. Kolang designs fashionable suits and dresses from African print materials. Kolang says he wants to create a national brand for South Sudan so that foreigners can recognize South Sudanese people with a certain fashion design.
If we can come up with something that can help us boost and empower ourselves, then we can do it through our ideologies. So the inspiration is, I want us to have that identity as well. We should have that something that is common known in us. It's not basically about the rivalries of the wars and all that. We also have the good architecture, like in terms of culture, as well as the fashion and design.
David Shagold, founder of De Gold's Fashion, says he started designing clothes in 2017 after graduating from a fashion school in Uganda. He says he now focuses on designing wedding gowns, dinner and party clothes because he noticed South Sudanese love partying.
I've seen people doing a lot of weddings and a lot of parties. So I see most of my people, like, they go abroad and get the wedding gowns from there. Yeah, then I was like, why can't I do a wedding gown since I'm a profession in this? That's why I was like, let me do it from here so that my own people will buy it from here. They don't have to go like to buy it from Egypt and Turkey and so many other countries.
Wilma Amita, a fashion designer who specializes in designing swimsuits from crocheted patterns or yarn, says she was inspired by online knitting. She says when COVID-19 started to spread throughout South Sudan and the government imposed a lockdown last year, she thought of doing something to keep herself busy, and that's how she started knitting the designs. Amita says she decided to make swimwear because she loves swimming, but also because it is rare to find swimsuits in South Sudan, maybe because there are no beaches and few swimming pools in the country. She says she believes fashion can be a uniting factor in South Sudan because it brings people together.
People bring in their different ideas, so it's a sign of unity. When I come from a different tribe and someone else comes from a different tribe, like many of us come from different tribes, like we combined and we devolve the love and the understanding among ourselves. It brings unity within us. And what is also important about the fashion is we can be able to reach other countries who undermine us. You never know that one day South Sudan will be the first, like the top in fashion.
Amau says South Sudan will showcase its fashion designs at upcoming fashion events this year in East Africa and Central Africa. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at employment opportunities in Africa. That story is lined up after the break.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. The World Bank estimates that 80% of people in African countries, especially the young, work in the informal sector, often for very low earnings. Lack of job opportunities has also contributed to high levels of underemployment and unemployment among college graduates. As the world commemorates the World Youth Day this week, the UN says that some of these issues around youth unemployment can be resolved if countries leverage new technologies to encourage job creation through entrepreneurship. Maureen Odhiambo reports that despite some of these challenges, Kenyan young men and women are in many ways ahead of the game.
In a report, the United Nations says that every year younger people pursue their transition to adulthood through education. This has caused higher demand for post-basic education as the bridge between the aspirations of young people and the promises of the better future through paid employment. As joblessness among the youths hit many in Kenya, there are young Kenyans doing commendable jobs for the community. Kennedy Odede started Shofco Foundation in Kibera slums as a young man struggling to save young girls and boys from the slum hardships.
And you can see later on, we were able to start a school for girls that you see that have been doing well in the exams. I didn't want to build many schools, as you know, but the agenda was I wanted to what is called to change the way people think on women. So by having this tiny school in the middle of the slum was powerful because when people look at it, now you want your daughter, your niece to be like that. So you change the mindset of people.
Odede said that many youths are still turning to crime for lack of jobs and that there is need for youth appointments in government.
Youths are not in the government enough. They are being taken as a token and the youths are really tired. They know what they want. So I think every government should come with a declaration on that day, what they're going to do for the youth. So right now, like to you, apart from Kibera and everywhere else you see this, your friends will tell you this now, the crime rate has become higher.
Another Kenyan, Lilian Ngala, founder of Lilian Ngala Foundation, builds homes for widows in Kenya. She claims most of them are neglected in the community.
Having been raised by a widow myself, growing up and even now, I still see widows living in abject poverty, where most of them do get robbed of their houses and even their assets once their husbands are no more.
Besides the widows pillar, whereby we build the houses for the widows, we also have two other pillars, which is one, the inclusive empowerment, whereby we work closely with the women, the youth, and the people living with the disabilities.
Lillian says lack of resources makes her not fulfill all the requests she receives from the community.
Being an individual, majorly the sole contributor, it becomes very difficult for me to fulfill all the pressing projects that I do receive on a daily basis because we have so many widows out there and they don't know who to turn to, and therefore when they get to hear about the Ngala Foundation, then the requests are so many.
With the theme of International Youth Day 2021 being transforming food systems, youth innovation for human performance and planetary health, Emmanuel Atamba is a young Kenyan fighting for rights to safe food for all.
Food is a human right. It's not just something, you know, we are doing as a political favor or something like that. So conversations around food systems are evolving quite rapidly. There's a lot of new information coming up every day. The new challenges, you know, who knew that there could be mercury in sugar? This work is not something that you plan in January and know exactly the conversations you're going to have throughout.
With youths in Africa making up to 70% of African population, the United Nations says through youth education, engagement, innovation, and entrepreneurial solutions, this year's International Youth Day aims to provide a platform for young people. Reporting for VOA, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Milwaukee, USA.
Let us know what you think about this show. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil Biagio.
Thanks, John. We heard from many of you this week about the internal conflict in the SPLM in opposition and the need to implement security arrangements as is spelled out in the 2018 peace agreement. James Roy Majok from Bentiu Unity State says, as fighting erupted between SPLM-IO military command brigades, I, as a South Sudanese citizen, feel there will be no peace implementation between warring parties who have signed the peace agreement in Khartoum, Sudan. Jacob Dior Machweng from Euro Lake State says, the factional fighting within the SPLA-IO in Meganis, and which has caused fears already, is a bad indication to the revitalized peace agreement which is being implemented. The conflict in Upper Nile is unrest to the whole country because we live by each other. I urge the leadership of the IO, the Government of National Unity, and the international community as peace partners to intervene before it becomes another war. Daniel Dud Dagbai from Rakmajok, Krombek says, I was shocked to hear another faction within the SPLA-IO led to the loss of lives of our beloved comrades under the forces loyal to Dr. Riek Machar and forces loyal to General Garich. I thought the peace I am enjoying in Lake State is everywhere in South Sudan. I urge both leaders of the SPLM-IO and SPLA-IO factions to resolve their differences amicably in order to give peace a chance. Thong Chuni Yokwai from Juba says, what happened among the SPLA-IO forces was caused by a delay of the graduation of unified forces who have stayed in the training centers for 2 years without food, drugs, or clean water in their different centers. Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul in Block 3 Bo writes, the internal split of the SPLM-IO is blocking the implementation of the peace agreement and will take the country back to imminent conflict. I urge the opposition to put their differences aside and unite for the stability of the country. As a youth of South Sudan who has experienced the effects of the first war, I'm calling upon our government and their presidency in particular to look critically into what is taking place within the SPLA-IO camp, especially between forces loyal to Simon Garrigue Doual and the first vice president, and solve their differences before it escalates into a war again. Woja Emmanuel Wudu from Arua, Uganda writes, thank you for always updating us with what is happening in South Sudan. I urge the SPLM-IO to resolve the confusion created among themselves amicably so that it doesn't interfere with the peace implementation process in South Sudan. Isaac Tang of Bantu Town says, hello VOA, my point to our leaders is that we want them to look at our suffering rather than look at who is defecting and vice versa, because if they focus and implement the 2018 agreement, all those fighting Artigono may also join since they are exploiting poor progress. Thanks Nabil Biagio and John Tanza. Mal Adao Mal in Bortown says, hello VOA, it is now clear that the SPLM-IO is for individual interests other than a political party, and that it may put this country on the brim of chaos once again. When you critically look at South Sudan, you can hardly understand who is controlling the country because everyone thinks of what pleases him or her. Shame on us. Molana Kirdao Adum from the University of Juba says, I would like to express these two burning issues in South Sudan. The issue of unknown gunmen and inter-clan fighting. I was surprised when I heard over 30 people lost their lives within an hour. So what is our government doing if civilians are killing themselves for unknown reason? These issues need serious law enforcement to always bring the perpetrators to justice. Robert Nyombe in Yumbe says, I love the work you people are doing. I wish it would be a 1-hour program. Keep up the good work. John Chol Manyon Majok of Rombeck Lake State says, "It is a great pleasure to congratulate the mayor of Rombeck Municipality, Honorable Luca Abukdut, for making the town clean and smart for the first time. Dear Honorable, set the theme for success and positive action that is certain to carry you through your entire day. Today will never happen again. Don't waste it. You were not born to fail." Mading Malual Alwong from Malakal Town writes, "In order to promote unity and harmony in this country, there is a need to deploy uniformed personnel to regions where they are not originally from. This means the members of the army and the organized forces would not get involved in local disputes and politics of their ethnic communities if they are deployed farther away from their regions." Ayom Yuang in Bor Town, Jonglei State says, "What would the government of National Unity do to stop such violations of the agreement from the IO party on the security arrangements? I am really disappointed by so-called defection always happening in South Sudan for both the SPLM in government and the SPLM IO in the country. Only God will investigate the case and give us good wisdom." Nial Ayom in Bor Town, Jonglei State writes, "In South Sudan we are supposed to build dams, but we are building houses in foreign countries instead. This is very unfortunate." Peter Thorne says, "Good evening, VOA. For your information, unknown gunmen have just killed the lady at around 8 p.m. at the residential area Hainapere in Yambio, Western Equatoria State. My condolences to the family and husband Kalaman. May her soul rest in peace." Daniel Dud Majok from Rombeck writes, "My congratulations to our President Salva Kiir for giving us the strong leader Rin Twain Mabor as governor of Lake State. There are unknown gunmen in the state. General Mabor and Honorable Commissioner Kaman Matur Ajaj, the Rombeck Central Commissioner, the safety of lakes is in your hands." Someone who did not leave a name says, "Dear John, thank you so much for updating us on what is happening in South Sudan. Decisions taken by the deputy chairman of SPLM-IO is a positive step to resign because the government talks about peace implementation, but there is nothing like peace in the country. People are dying day and night, so we need genuine peace that addresses the root causes of the conflict." Taze John Lino from Juba says, "Intercommunal conflict has become the order of the day among cattle keepers in South Sudan. At least our government should take serious action against these fighters." Simon Duop Jacob says, "Hello South Sudan in Focus. I have been a constant listener of your program for years. Until last year, I ceased to get your news podcasts on WhatsApp like I used to get it before. That might have been because my phone number for WhatsApp changed. I am therefore requesting your kind office to add me on your WhatsApp so that I can continue enjoying your show and broadcasts." And finally, Elijah Red David from Khartoum, Sudan says, "Thanks for the good updates that you keep giving us every day about our motherland. My message goes out to our leaders and youth to bring everlasting peace in our beautiful country, South Sudan, in which our people from refugee camps should come and enjoy their life in their homes instead of the jungles. Let's keep in our minds that we are one people and one nation. The views expressed here do not reflect the views of this program or of VOA. Thank you for all your comments. We appreciate it."
Thanks, Nabil. Keep your comments coming. That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now leave you with the song Labi Amaro by Mede Muzika. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap. Practice social distancing and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Dananda nani talabir taliro ba
Rwanda Sea. Daniel Paro Jadobe.